سورة الأنفال. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسألونك عن الأنفال، قل الأنفال لله والرسول. They ask you about the spoils of war. Tell them the spoils are for Allah and His Messenger. So fear Allah and adjust all matters of difference among you. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And obey Allah and His Messenger if you are true believers. Now this surah really refers to the Battle of Badr. And we're all familiar with the occasion that led to the Battle of Badr, that there was a trading caravan that was going from Yemen to Syria. It was passing near Medina. Abu Sufyan felt threatened and thought, what if the Muslims attack me? So he appealed for help. An army set out from Makkah then. And near the wells of Badr, it was 313 Muslims versus 1,000 Kuffar. They ask you about the booty of war. Tell them that the booty is for Allah and the Messenger. So fear Allah and adjust all matters of difference among you. And obey Allah and His Messenger if you are believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah defines the mu'mineen. We all think of ourselves as mu'mineen, don't we? Yes, we're the mu'mineen. If we read one salat on time, we get up once for tahajjud and we make ourselves muhsineen. Allah says, who are the believers? Those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts begin to tremble. Have our hearts ever trembled at the thought of Allah? Have our hearts ever trembled at the mention of Allah? And when His verses are recited to them, these verses increase their iman. Not like people who say, oh, I read the Quran and I found the bit on women really objectionable and that's why I can't accept the Quran. No. When they listen to the Quran, it increases their iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they trust in their Lord in all matters, whether spiritual or physical or worldly or mundane, they trust in Allah, that Allah will see me through this. See, this mention of their hearts trembling, this physical response. We read in the 7th Sipara, إِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. You see their eyes overflowing with tears when they listen to this Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants this Qur'an to evoke a physical response from us. Our hearts, bodies and souls should all be involved in it. Not that we're reading it and we're not affected and we're just waiting for the time to end. Who established salat and stand out of that, we have provided them. Allah's rights and human beings' rights. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. It is they who are the true believers. Now if we want to know whether we're the mu'mineen or not, we can read this ayat and analyze ourselves. For them are grades of dignity with their Lord and forgiveness and a generous provision. As your Lord calls you to go out from your home with the truth, and indeed a party among the believers disliked it, disputing with you concerning the truth after it was made clear, as if they were being driven to death while they were looking. And remember, when Allah promised you one of the two parties of the enemy, either the army or the caravan, the Muslims obviously were more interested in meeting up with the trading caravan since that would have been easier for them. But Allah says, you wish that the one not armed should be yours, but Allah will to justify the truth by His words and to cut off the roots of the disbelievers. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلُ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. That He might cause the truth to triumph and bring falsehood to nothing, even though the criminals should hate it. Remember when you sought help of your Lord and He answered you saying, I will help you with 1,000 of the angels, each behind the other in succession. Allah made it only as glad tidings and that your hearts be at rest therewith. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. There is no victory except from Allah. Worldly props are only a means. True victory and defeat are in Allah's hands. Indeed Allah is almighty, all wise. Remember when He covered you with a slumber as a security from Him, and He caused rain to descend on you from the sky to clean you thereby and to remove from you the evil suggestions of shaitan and to strengthen your hearts and make your feet firm thereby. Remember when your Lord revealed to the angels, Anni ma'akum, indeed I am with you, so keep firm those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who have disbelieved. So strike them over the necks and smite over all their fingers and toes. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. This is because they disobeyed Allah and His Messenger. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then indeed Allah is severe in punishment. Not simply Allah, Allah and His Messenger. This is the torment, so taste it. And surely for the disbelievers is the torment of the fire. O you who believe, when you meet those who disbelieve in a battlefield, never turn your backs to them. And whoever turns his back to them on such a day, unless be it a stratagem of war or to retreat to a troop, he indeed has drawn on himself wrath from Allah, and his abode is hell, and worst indeed is that destination. فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You did not kill them, but Allah killed them. You did not throw when you threw, but Allah threw, that He might test the believers by a beautiful trial from Him. Indeed, Allah is all-hearer, all-knower. What mention is this of throwing before the battle started? The Prophet ﷺ threw a handful of dust in their eyes. And imagine what a powerful gesture it must have been at that time. And that handful of dust Allah caused to fly into the disbelievers' eyes, thus blinding them temporarily. Allah is saying, you did not kill them, Allah killed them. You did not throw when you threw, Allah threw. What does this mean? That when we achieve anything for Allah's sake, we should not pride ourselves on our own merit. It's Allah's doing. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Allah who granted you the power to achieve that magnificent gesture. Ma ramayta iz ramayta, walakinna Allah rama. It's an awesome ayah. Every time we do something for Allah, let's remind ourselves of this ayah. That it's not our merit, it's not our goodness that we're doing it. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and mercy upon us. This is the fact, and surely Allah weakens the deceitful plots of the disbelievers. O disbelievers, if you ask for a judgment, now has the judgment come to you. And if you cease, it will be better for you. And if you return, so shall we return. And your forces will be of no help to you, however numerous they may be. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And indeed Allah is with the believers. The pagans prayed before they left Makkah, holding the cloth of the Kaaba, that, O Lord, let the better of the two parties win. Let the one who is on the right path win. So Allah says, your dua was heard and the Muslims have triumphed. And O you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not turn away from Him while you are hearing. We'll be listening to the Quran, but it's not changing our lives. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا. Do not be like those who say, we have heard. وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. But they are not listening. People say, oh, I've heard the Quran so many times, I know everything that's in it. If they know, then they should be acting upon it, otherwise they come under this category. إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَّابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الصُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, the worst of living creatures with Allah are the deaf and the dumb, who do not understand, who are not using their brains. When we're listening to the Quran, but it's not changing us. When we're speaking or teaching the Quran, but it's not changing us. When we're hearing the Quran, but we're not processing it, we're not absorbing it, then in Allah's eyes, we are the worst of His creatures. Had Allah known of any good in them, He would indeed have made them listen. And even if He had made them listen, they would have turned away with aversion. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul. O you who believe, answer Allah and His Messenger. Every day Allah addresses us. For 2 hours we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. Allah saying, respond. Don't just listen, go home and forget. Respond to Allah. Respond to His Messenger. When He calls to that which will give you life, we're the ones who will benefit. And know that Allah comes in between a person and his heart. Even if we're not saying anything, but in our heart we're feeling resentful. No, no, I will not do this. Why don't accept it? Allah knows about it. And indeed, to Him shall you all be gathered. And fear the trial which affects not in particular only those of you who do wrong. And know that Allah is severe in punishment. When we're too busy purifying ourselves and we're not concerned about society, then as we read in the story of the fishing village, the innocent were punished with the guilty. And remember when you were few and were reckoned weak in the land and were afraid that men might kidnap you. But He provided a safe place for you, strengthened you with His help and provided you with good things in order that you might be grateful. O you who believe, do not betray Allah and His Messenger. How do we betray Allah? We hear the Quran, we don't act upon it. How do we betray the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We're not following his sunnah, we're not teaching his sunnah. وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ. And do not betray your trust. What trusts are these? All the responsibilities Allah has placed upon us. We need to know our children are a responsibility. Our wealth is a responsibility. Our jobs, our careers, whatever knowledge, whatever talent we possess, it's a responsibility. And know that your possessions and your children are simply a trial, and that with Allah is a mighty reward. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. O you who believe, If you have Allah consciousness, Allah will grant you a criterion to judge between right and wrong and will expiate for you your sins and forgive you, and Allah is the owner of the great bounty. We can understand this ayat from a beautiful story we find in the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, that one day he was walking along and he heard a voice call out to him from the sky that, "Oh Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, your prayers are forgiven, you don't have to pray anymore." Now if we were to hear such a voice, we'd probably faint with joy. But he didn't say that. He said, "Wait a minute, if even the prophets weren't forgiven their prayers, how then can I be, you know, absolved of my prayers?" And the same voice said, "Your knowledge has saved you." And he said, "No, it was Allah's rahmah that saved me." This is the moment. Constantly on the alert, lest shaitan attack him. If you are Allah conscious, He will grant you a criterion to judge between right and wrong. He will save you from people's conflicting theories. If you ever go to people for advice, no two people will tell you the same thing. Everyone will tell you different things that you should do. Allah will free you from all that chaos. He will grant you a criterion and will expiate for you all your sins and forgive you. And Allah is the owner of the great bounty. This is not difficult for Him. And remember, when the disbelievers plotted against you to imprison you or to kill you or to get you out, they were plotting and Allah too was planning. Wallahu khayrul makirin. And Allah is the best of those who plan. And when our verses are recited to them, they say, "We have heard the Quran. If we wish, we can say the like of this. This is nothing but the tales of the ancients." And remember when they said, "O Allah, if this Quran is indeed revealed from you, then rain down stones on us from the sky, or bring on us a painful torment." And Allah would not punish them whilst you are among them, nor will He punish them while they seek Allah's forgiveness. Istighfar, the best means of salvation from the azab. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read istighfar 70 times a day. And why should not Allah punish them while they hinder men from the sacred mosque and they are not His guardians? None can be His guardians except the Allah conscious, but most of them do not know. وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ. Their prayer at the house was nothing but whistling and clapping of hands. See, this was what they had reduced their rituals to. And we too have our qawwalis today. And these days, before sehri, that's what they're showing on television. And that's our ignorance. Their prayer at the house was nothing but whistling and clapping of hands. We don't find it in the Quran. We don't find it in the Sunnah. How then can we take it as an act of worship that will be pleasing to Allah? Therefore, taste the punishment because you used to disbelieve. When we make a mockery of our deen and we reduce it to some senseless rituals that we're just having a good time in them. Indeed, those who disbelieve spend their wealth to stop them from the path of Allah. And so they will continue to spend it. But in the end, it will become an anguish for them. Then they will be overcome. And those who disbelieve will be gathered unto hell. In order that Allah may distinguish the wicked from the good and put the wicked one over another, heap them together and cast them into hell. As you gather all the rubbish in your house and then you throw it away. You don't keep it and treasure it and say, "No, I'm always going to treasure this rubbish." You throw it, and that's what Allah says. When a man is not fulfilling his function of ibadah in Allah's eyes, he is rubble. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. It is they who are the losers. Say to those who have disbelieved, if they cease, their past will be forgiven. There is still time to turn to Allah. But if they return, then the examples of those punished before them have already preceded as a warning. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. And fight them until there is no more fitna, no more trial, and worship becomes for Allah alone. We find that the Prophet ﷺ defined jihad, that whoever fights in the path of Allah, so that the word of Allah is the uppermost, it is he who is fighting in the path of Allah. And at the same time, we should remember that لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. Muslims have never spread Islam by the sword, as you know the Orientalists would like us to believe. But jihad is fought to rectify oppression and for self-defense. And Allah says, the purpose of your jihad should not be to gain land. وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. Worship may be made for Allah alone. But if they cease, then certainly Allah is all-seer of what they do. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. And if they turn away, they still don't listen. فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. That Allah is your protector. نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى. What a beautiful protector. وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. And what an excellent helper. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعلموا أنما غنمتم من شيء فإن لله خمسه وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل إن كنتم آمنتم بالله وما أنزلنا على عبدنا يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان والله على كل شيء قدير. And know that whatever of war booty you may gain, indeed one-fifth of it is assigned to Allah and to the Messenger and to the near relatives and also the orphans, the poor and the traveler, if you have believed in Allah and in that which we have sent down to our slave on the day of criterion, on the day when the two forces met, and Allah is able to do all things. Now you might remember that Surah Anfal started with the words, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you about the distribution of war booty. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that question, that whatever war booty the Muslims were to gain, one-fifth of it would be assigned to Allah and the Messenger. Now what exactly is meant by it being assigned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He told the Muslims, the gist of which was, that these bounties are for you, except one-fifth for myself, and that too will be used for you. Because he spent all that, he gave all that away in sadaqah, and we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never keep anything for himself. He'd give everything away. And he warned them, so keep nothing back, not even a needle. Because we've read earlier on the punishment of stealing even something as trivial as a chadar from the war booty. Whenever people rob from national treasuries or they take money from public trusts or things that belong to a group of people, then the sin for that is much greater. Allah says, if you have believed in Allah and in that which we have sent down to our slave on the day of criterion. What day was this? The day of the Battle of Badr. The first battle fought between the Muslims and the Kuffar. Now you'll have noticed how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again and again telling us not to compartmentalize deen. Like some people we find who earn huge amounts of haram money. They know that they're cheating. They know that they're being dishonest in business. Yet somehow they can reconcile it with their conscience. These same people will be going for Umrah every year. But they're also cheating others in business matters. And they give vast amounts of sadqat. And they think that that's all right. Allah says, In kuntum amantum billah. Iman does not allow such hypocrisy. A Muslim is a Muslim in all spheres of his life. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter into submission fully. Whether in your business matters, whether in your marital relations, whether in your personal interactions with people, and whether in your spiritual matters. And Allah is able to do all things. And remember, when you, the Muslim army, were on the near side of the valley, and they were on the farther side, and the caravan on the ground lower than you, even if you had made a mutual appointment to meet, you would certainly have failed in the appointment. But you met that Allah might accomplish a matter already ordained, so that those who were to be destroyed might be destroyed after clear evidence, and those who were to live might live after a clear proof. Whenever we read the account of the Battle of Badr, it fills us with hope. It fills us with encouragement that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could save the Muslims against such overwhelming odds, 313 Muslims fighting their first battle against 1,000 odd kuffar, it fills us with hope and inspiration. Allah says this battle was fought so that those who were to live might live after a clear proof. What proof is that? What clear evidence is this? كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّا أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah has decreed that I and my messengers will prevail. Indeed Allah is almighty, all-powerful. And when we analyze the other battles, some which the Muslims won, some which the Muslims lost, we find that when they lost, it was when they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as happened in the Battle of Uhud. When the archers were led by their love of wealth to run down and desert their post, that's when the Muslims lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to tell us, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَسَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is all hearer, all knower. He can hear whatever claims we're making. Like people who love to claim how much they love Islam, how much they love Allah. Allah says, Al-Aleem. Allah knows the truth of what's really in your hearts. And remember, when Allah showed them to you as few in your dream, if He had shown them to you as many, you would surely have been discouraged, and you would surely have disputed in making a decision. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمَا. But Allah saved you. Indeed, He is the all-knower of what is in the hearts of men. And remember, when you met, He showed them to you as few in your eyes, and He made you appear as few in their eyes, so that Allah might accomplish a matter already ordained, and to Allah return all matters for decision. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إذا لقيتم فئة فاثبتوا واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. O you who have iman, O you who claim to be Muslims, when you meet an enemy force, stand firm against them. Don't show cowardice. Don't be daunted or intimidated by their numbers or by their superior power or by their superior weapons. Stand firm against them. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and remember Allah much, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, in order that you may succeed. Islam, we find, is a beautiful combination of tadbir and tawakkul. In other words, Allah doesn't teach us that just remember Allah and Allah will save you. Allah says, no, you do what you can, then trust in me. Like the man who entered the mosque and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh, I've left my camel loose because I'm trusting in Allah. He said, no, iqal wa tawakkal. First tie your camel, then trust in Allah. This is the positive belief in destiny that we Muslims hold. Not that we sit back and say, well, Allah's going to do whatever He wants to do, so what's the point of my trying? That we achieve whatever we can to the best of our ability, and then we trust in Allah. And then we know that ultimate victory and defeat will come from Allah. Remember the name of Allah much in order that you may succeed. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Again, Allah repeats, and His Messenger. Otherwise Allah could have simply said, obey Allah. But by saying and obey His Messenger, that shows us the importance of Sunnah. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, and do not dispute with one another. What is the greatest cause of Muslim decline? Sectarian differences. We're so busy fighting amongst ourselves, we don't even have time to think of fighting the enemy. Do not dispute with one another, lest you lose courage and your strength departs. Wasbiru, and be constant. The three aspects of sabr: to be constant in good deeds, to be constant in abstaining from evil, and to be patient at times of difficulty. And we Muslims have done none of these. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, indeed Allah is with those who are patient. Now we've learned of the positive nature of patience, where you're doing something. You're doing something to defend yourself, not that you're sitting back and saying, when Allah wishes, then only can this Muslim Ummah be saved. Do not be like those who come out of their homes boastfully, to be seen by men, and hinder men from the path of Allah. And Allah is encompassing all that they do. Now, we find that in Ayat 45 and 47, Allah gives us two different pictures. One is a picture of the mu'mineen, who are fighting against the enemy with constancy, with courage, and remembering Allah. They're not flaunting their own arrogance. They're not thinking that if we win, it's because of our own courage. They're remembering Allah. So they're fighting with courage, yet with humility. Then Allah gives us an example of those who come out of their homes arrogantly. Who were these? This is actually a reference to the kuffar, because when they came to fight for the battle of Badr, they were completely convinced that they were going to win. So they came with dancing girls, and they brought wine with them. And all route, any caravan that they'd pass, they'd have these boastful functions whereby they'd be, you know, all strutting around and saying, oh, we're going to wipe these Muslims off the face of this earth. What was the difference between them? That the kuffar were doing it to wipe the Muslims off the face of this earth. They were not doing it for Allah. And the Muslims were doing it for Allah. So Allah says, don't be like those who come out of their homes boastfully to be seen by people, to impress people, and hinder men from the path of Allah. Allah is encompassing all that they do. And remember, when Shaitan made their evil deeds seem fair to them, and he said, none of mankind can overcome you this day, and indeed I am your neighbor. Now this was Shaitan inciting the kuffar to further arrogance, to further rebellion, and encouraging them and saying, yes, definitely you'll win. And if you remember, we read in the story of Adam and Hawa alayhimu salam, this is how he traps people by pretending to be their well-wisher. What did he tell them? إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ, I am for both of you, for both you, Adam and Eve, I am one of the well-wishers. I'm giving you sincere advice. So what happened? But when the two forces came in sight of each other, he ran away and said, indeed I have nothing to do with you. Indeed I see what you do not see. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ وَاللَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ, indeed I fear Allah, for Allah is severe in punishment. Now Allah is teaching us something very important here, that Shaitan is essentially a coward. See, this is what will happen on the Day of Judgment as well. When the people that he's made false promises to in the world will come up to him and say, well, now you help us. He'll say, no, I made a promise to you and I broke my promise. And when Allah made His promise to the believers, He fulfilled His promise. So Allah is warning us in advance that He's unreliable, He's treacherous, He's a coward. So He didn't support the kuffar at that point. When the hypocrites and those in whose hearts was a disease of disbelief said, these Muslims are deceived by their religion. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a complete analysis of this battle. Now you'll notice Allah is not talking as much about the battle as about the people who were taking part in the battle, the people who were living around the Muslims. So on one side the Muslims were facing the enemy who was trying to annihilate them. And on the other hand we have the hypocrites who were doing their best to discourage the Muslims. When we too set out in the path of Allah, we have many people, many well-wishers who come up and say, are you sure you should be doing this? You know, your family comes first. Why don't you spend some time with your parents? Why don't you spend some time with your children? That's more important. That's what you'll be asked about. So in the same way, these hypocrites were trying to weaken the believers, to discourage them. What would they say? These people are deceived by their religion. When we try and obey Allah fully, what do we people say? She's gone mad. She's obsessed by religion. She's become a fanatic. So Allah says, مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ Whoever puts his trust in Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Allah is almighty, all wise. Why hasn't Allah said غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ over here? Allah is reminding us that it's in Allah we should trust rather than weak-hearted cowards like the hypocrites who do their best to discourage us. When we want to set out in the path of Allah, we should pray to Allah for help. We should trust that Allah will see me through this, not fall prey to the insecurities that other people try and put in us. Inna Allaha Azizun, He is Almighty. He can achieve what He wills. What can these hypocrites do for us? Hakim, all wise. Walau tara, and if only you could see. Now this is a very crucially important ayat. Allah is giving us a vision which we cannot ordinarily see. If only you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who disbelieve. They smite their faces and their backs, saying, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ Taste the punishment of the burning fire. This is because of that which your hands had forwarded. And Allah is not unjust to His slaves. Now what exactly does this ayat mean? First we need to focus on the word kafaru. There are different categories of kufr. We think to ourselves complacently, oh, I'm a Muslim, I'm not a kafir, I believe in Allah, I believe in the Day of Judgment, I read my prayers, I give sadaqah. One definition of kufr, the satanic kufr, is when we disobey Allah. What did Shaitan do to be expelled from Jannah? Did he say, I don't believe in Allah? Did he say, I don't believe in the Day of Judgment, or I don't believe in the Prophets? No. He said, I'm not going to obey Allah. Aba, he refused. Wastakbara, he was arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ Allah says the sequence of events was when he refused to obey Allah, when he became arrogant, thus logically he became of those who disbelieve, because disbelief means disobedience. And that's one form of kufr. Now Allah says, if you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who have been disbelieving, they will be striking their faces in their backs, saying, taste the punishment of the burning fire. Now please highlight this ayat as a proof of the azab of the grave. People doubt the azab of the grave and they say, well, where is it said in the Quran that there is an azab in the grave? This is the ayat which proves it. The first thing we need to understand is that the word qabr is used metaphorically, because people often, you know, raise this objection, well, what if someone's cremated? Or what if someone dies in a plane crash? Or what if someone's drowned at sea? Or what if someone is just blown up in a bomb blast? What about them? They're not buried in any qabr. The word qabr is used metaphorically. Even their ashes have to ultimately settle down to earth. Even if someone's been drowned, they are returning to this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, the angels will be striking their faces and back saying, taste the punishment of the burning fire. What fire is this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the grave is either a garden amongst the gardens of Jannah or a pit amongst the pits of hell. In other words, once we die, we get a preview of what our future life is going to be like. Although judgment will not have been passed, still we get to understand what's going to happen to us. And we find proof of this in the Quran itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ النَّارِ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا and has surrounded the people of Pharaoh an evil torment, the fire. They are presented upon it day and night. Now you might wonder to yourself, but Pharaoh drowned. He wasn't buried. So what fire is this? This is the grave's azab. There's a hadith which illustrates this very vividly, where the Prophet ﷺ told us, when a believing slave is buried, the grave says to him, welcome, you were the most beloved to me of all those who walk upon my back. Today you have been entrusted to me, you have come to me, and you will see my behavior towards you. And then the grave will expand, it will become spacious, and a door leading to Jannah will open for that person. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, he went on to say, when a sinful person, when a sinner, one who is disobeying Allah, or a kafir enters the grave will say, I do not welcome you. You were the most hated by me of all who live on my back. Today you have been entrusted to me, and you have come to me, and you shall see my behavior to you. And the grave will constrict upon him until his ribs are crushed against one another. That's why we should read, Allahumma ajirna min an-nar, na'uzu bika min azab al-qabr. Allah says, why will they be punished thus in the grave? Does that seem harsh or unfair? This is because of that which your own hands had sent ahead. When a man dies and people ask, what did he leave behind? How many houses? And the angels ask, what has he sent ahead? What do we take with us to our grave? Our clothes? Our houses? Our children? Nothing. Nothing but that shroud of white cloth. Nothing but the good deeds we might have sent ahead. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِالظَّلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ. When you read this ayat, you're filled with fear. So Allah reassures us, Allah is not unjust to His slaves. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. If you have done an atom of goodness, Allah will show that to you as well. Similar to the behavior of the people of Pharaoh and those before them, they rejected the signs of Allah, so Allah punished them for their sins. See, some people just like to think of Allah as love. Oh, He's just love. He's just Ghafoor Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us both in the Quran. We find He is Ghafoor Rahim, yet He is also Al-Qahhar. Where He will reward those who believe and do good deeds, He will also punish those who have sinned against Him. Indeed, Allah is all-strong, severe in punishment. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. This is so because Allah will never change a grace which He has bestowed on a people until they change what is in their own selves. And indeed Allah is all-hearer, all-knower. Muslims nowadays lament, what have we done wrong? Why doesn't Allah turn to us in mercy? Look at Muslims suffering all over the world. What's wrong? Doesn't Allah care about us anymore? Allah is telling us quite plainly, if you want to change your own condition, if you want Allah to change your condition for you, then change yourself first. See, how has Allah defined the Muslim Ummah in the Quran? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You Muslims are the best of nations, taken out for all mankind. So how come we're not global benefactors? How come we're regarded as terrorists, as fundamentalists, as world losers? Because Allah went on to tell us, when we'll become خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ, when we enjoin that which is right, when we forbid that which is wrong, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and when we do it all for Allah's sake. If we're not doing any of these three tasks, then there's no way we can become khaira ummatin. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah can hear the claims that we're making, the complaints that we utter daily. Alim. He knows the truth of the situation. He knows exactly how lazy the Muslim ummah has become. Similar to the behavior of the people of Fir'aun and those before them, they denied the signs of their Lord. How do we deny the signs of our Lord? There are different ways. I can say, well, I don't believe in this ayat of the Quran. And I can just shrug my shoulders and not act upon this ayat of the Quran. Both are forms of denial. Even if I'm saying outwardly, oh, I believe in the Quran, Sadaqallahu al-Azim, kissing the Quran, placing it on the highest shelf. But if I'm not acting upon it, I'm denying the signs of the Quran. So we destroy them for their sin. And we drown the people of Fir'aun, for they were all zalimeen. Who is a zalim? Someone who doesn't give someone their right, grants that right to someone else. Who has the greatest right upon us? مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Every day we say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and then we do whatever we feel like doing, regardless of whether Allah wants us to do that or not. Allah tells us, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They just did not appreciate Allah. They did not value Allah as was His right. إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَّابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Indeed, the worst of living creatures before Allah are those who disbelieve. so they shall not believe. They are those with whom you made a covenant, but they break their covenant every time. وَهُمْ لَا يَتَّقُونَ And they do not fear Allah. This refers to the Jewish alliance made by the Muslims when the Muslims entered Medina, and there were three Jewish tribes already living there. So they made a pact which is known as Mithaq-e-Madina. And the terms of the pact was that they would live together in friendship and not fight against each other and so on. But the Jews broke that pact. So Allah tells us, if you gain the mastery over them in war, punish them severely in order to disperse those who are behind them so that they may learn a lesson. The Muslim is being taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone is oppressing you, fight back. Don't turn the other cheek. And if you fear treachery from any people, throw back their covenant to them so as to be on equal terms. Certainly Allah does not love the treacherous. Now this is an international law being stated over here, that if you have an alliance with any country or with any state and you fear treachery on their behalf, then have the courage of your convictions that openly break that covenant. Not that you also pretend that the covenant is continuing and you're both trying to trick each other. There's no such deceit in Islam. Openly break the covenant if you fear that they're deceiving you. And then Allah warns us, Allah does not love the treacherous. In other words, we're not allowed to cheat even the non-Muslims. Like some Muslims erroneously believe, oh yes, we can cheat the Jews or we can cheat the Christians. Allah does not love the treacherous. اعدلوا, be just, هو أقرب للتقوى. Because that is nearer to Allah consciousness. We have to speak the truth wherever we are and with whomsoever we are dealing. And let not those who disbelieve think that they can escape from the punishment. Indeed, they will never be able to save themselves. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ وَآخَرِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَهُمْ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ Make ready against them all that you have of power, of energy, whether atomic or any other sort, including steeds of war, to threaten the enemy of Allah and your enemy and others besides whom you may not know, but whom Allah does know, and whatever you spend in the cause of Allah shall be repaid to you, and you shall not be treated unjustly. Now this is a very important ayat because it's teaching the Muslims how to defend themselves. It's teaching the Muslims how to become world powers that are to be reckoned with. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying just sit in one corner and remember me and then I'll grant you these angels who'll come and fight for you. No. أَعِدُّ لَهُمْ Prepare for them against your enemies all that you have of power, of energy, including steeds of war. Now people read Al-Khayl and they start mocking the Quran. And they say, oh look, the Quran is telling us to get ready our horses, and how can we win a war with horses these days? That's because of the ignorance of the Arabic language. Khayl literally actually represents transport. It does not literally mean a horse. It means whatever means of transport is the fastest, is the swiftest, is the most effective. Otherwise Allah could have said, get ready your camels. Because in those days, they used camels more than horses. So why didn't Allah say, use your camels? Because this Quran is not outdated. This Quran is a book till the end of time. So Allah says, including steeds of war. In other words, whatever powerful means of transport you may find, whatever is most effective, move with the times. To threaten the enemy of Allah and your enemy. We have this concept of deen. We want it to be just love, just turning the other cheek, just forgiveness. But the rest of the world isn't like that, as we've seen for ourselves. Allah says you need this power to threaten the enemy of Allah, to strike awe in their hearts. And others besides whom you may not know, but whom Allah does know. As in the Quran, Allah also tells us, وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحِمَارِ لِتَرْكُبُوهَا وَزِينَا وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ While speaking of the animals whom Allah has created so that they can transport us around, Allah says, and the horse and the donkey, so that you may ride them, and as a beauty, and He will create that which you do not even know. Now 1400 years ago, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were being told this. يَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Anything that can happen, any new invention that comes across, Allah has already predicted it. He will create that which you have no knowledge of, which you can't even dream of. And Allah says, and whatever you spend of in the path of Allah, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ shall be repaid to you. We have a limited concept of sadqa. We think of a sadqa and we give some money to a mosque maybe, or to a madrasa maybe, or we, you know, give money for qurbani, and we think we've given a lovely sadqa. Allah is saying even this, spending in self-defense, spending to protect yourself, to protect Islam from the enemy, that too is fi sabilillah. How did the Prophet ﷺ define fi sabilillah? He said, whoever fights so that the word of Allah is uppermost, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that is in the path of Allah. يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَتُظْلَمُونَ, and you will not be wronged, either by people or in the hereafter. Obviously, if we Muslims were a world power today, nobody would dare to do what they're doing to the Muslims today. But if they incline to peace, you also incline to it. Islam is not an aggressive religion. It doesn't say that go around becoming world tyrants or world aggressors. If they incline to peace, you also incline to it. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and put your trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah is the all-hearer, the all-knower. And if they intend to deceive you, then indeed Allah is all-sufficient for you. He it is who has supported you with His help and with the believers. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and Allah has united their hearts. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, if you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have united their hearts, but Allah has united them. We find, if you study Arab history, that the Arabs were prone to fighting at the slightest provocation. They would have long wars that extended over hundreds of years, literally, over a trivial insult offered by one person to another. What happened to make these people join together in such love and harmony? What gave these people such love that they could literally sacrifice their lives for one another, lay down their homes in the service of another? Allah says, Allah united their hearts. Now Allah is giving us a message here. Islam should not simply be a military power, it should also be a stronghold of unity and harmony. What is Islam today? Neither are we world powers, and we're certainly not at all united. Allah says, Allah has united them. How did Allah unite them? By means of this book. We have this book here today as well, but we're too busy squabbling about whether we raise our hands for Allahu Akbar or not, to think about deeper issues. And Allah warns us, إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, a beautiful ayat. O Prophet, Allah is enough for you and for those believers who follow you. Not for the believers, for those believers who follow you. The importance of sunnah. How much do we know of the sunnah in our lives? How much of the sunnah do we implement in our lives? Allah says, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't just rely on military power. Again, Allah is stressing that, O mu'mineen, develop your military power, develop your strength, but don't fall into the mistake of relying exclusively upon that strength. Ultimate victory and defeat come from Allah. مَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, victory comes only from Allah. And O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, urge the believers to fight. If there are 20 steadfast people amongst you, they will overcome 200. And if there are 100 steadfast people, they will overcome 1,000 of those who disbelieve. Because the disbelievers are people who do not understand. Look at the words Allah has used here. If there are 20 steadfast people amongst you, well, look at the quantity of Muslims in the world today. Every day we're reading about how many millions of Muslims are living in this world. So why are the Muslims not overcoming the disbelievers? Because the key word is sabirun. They have to be steadfast. They have to be constant in ibadah. They have to be constant in abstaining from evil. And they have to be patient at times of trial. So if we're not sabirun, all these millions are certainly not helping us. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ even predicted a time would come when the Muslims would be many in number, but would be overpowered and oppressed, as we see today. The companions were amazed. They couldn't even conceive of such a time, because their situation was the exact reverse, that they were few in number, but because their courage was so great, their iman was so strong, that they were winning against all odds. And they said, how can that be? And he told them, due to fear of death and love of this world. Due to love of this world, we suck up to the disbelievers. We follow their laws. We implement their laws in our country, rather than having the courage to uphold Islamic law. Allah says, if there are 20 steadfast people amongst you, they will overcome 200. And if there are 100 steadfast people, they will overcome 1,000 of those who disbelieve. Now these are Allah's words. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. They're not just numbers. This is the book in which there is no doubt. If Allah is telling us, it is the truth. Because the disbelievers are people who don't understand. What don't they understand? The power of Allah. Now Allah has lightened your task, for He knows that there is weakness in you. So if there are of you 100 steadfast people, they shall overcome 200. And if there are 1,000 of you, they shall overcome 2,000. Bi-idhnillah. The key words, by the consent of Allah, not due to any great courage that they're showing. In other words, even if what is required from us is sabr, and then inshallah Allah will help us. Wallahu ma'as-sabirin. Allah is with those who are constant. It is not for a prophet that he should have prisoners of war until he had made a great slaughter among his enemies in the land. Now we read this ayat and we think, how cruel, why is Allah telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to massacre his enemies? That's not the point of the ayat. The point of the ayat is to remind us that the true purpose of jihad is not the booty you collect at the end, is not the land you've taken over at the end. What is the true purpose of jihad? To curb the power of the kuffar, to check their oppression. That is the purpose of jihad. تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. You desire the good of this world. You want money, you want lands, you want new countries, new frontiers. But Allah desires for you the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Again and again Allah reminds us, He is Almighty, He is All-Wise. Were it not a previous ordainment from Allah, a severe torment would have touched you for what you took. So enjoy what you have gotten of booty in war, lawful and good. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Be conscious of Allah. Don't forget Allah whilst enjoying these worldly pleasures. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. When is He forgiving and merciful? When we have tried our best. Say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the captives that are in your hands, if Allah knows any good in your hearts, He will give you something better than what has been taken from you, and He will forgive you. Wallahu ghafoorur raheem. And Allah is forgiving, most merciful. People have this theory that Islam spread by the sword, and the Muslims used to force other people to convert. Look at this. This is a chance of complete free will. They have been given an option that if you wish, you can convert to Islam. The purpose was not to finish off the kuffar. The purpose was A, to check their oppression, and B, to give them a chance to return to Islam or come to Islam. If Allah knows any good in your hearts, He will give you something better than what has been taken from you, and He will forgive you. We find one of the captives of the prisoners of Badr saying, when I was captured, I gave 20 awqiya gold for my ransom. Later on, I converted to Islam. Why did he convert to Islam? He ransomed himself. We find that the Muslims were so kind and merciful to the captives that one Muslim in whose house a captive was being kept, he actually used to give him, you know, the roti that he had and eat dates himself, because roti was considered a delicacy. Now he was giving this roti to a captive who was a kafir, and he didn't give it so that that man would convert to Islam. He gave it because these were the humane laws taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used to give that man roti every day and deprive himself of that delicacy. So Allah says that He will forgive you. Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. These were the chances of conversion being held forth before the captives. And if anyone did not wish to convert, then he could ransom himself in return. And for some prisoners, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you don't have money with which to ransom yourself, then teach the Muslim children how to read and write. And again, that emphasizes the importance of education in Islam. But if they intend to betray you, they indeed betrayed Allah before, so He gave you power over them. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Indeed those who believed and migrated and did jihad and fought with their property and their lives in the cause of Allah, as well as those who gave them refuge and help, all of these are friends of one another. And as to those who believed and did not emigrate, you owe no duty of protection to them until they emigrate. Those Muslims who lived in Makkah, who could escape, but chose to live in the land of kufr, this addresses for them. But if they seek your help in religion, it is your duty to help them. If Muslims are suffering and they ask us for help, it is our duty to help them. It's not a favor. Except against a people with whom you have a treaty of mutual alliance. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah is seeing whatever you do. Now look at the sequence of the words. Once we have iman, we prove our iman. We don't just sit back and say, oh, Allah knows how much I love Him. هاجروا, they migrated. Now we might say, well, where should we migrate to? We're living in an Islamic country already. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once defined hijrah and said, al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahaa Allahu anhu. The muhajir is one who leaves that which Allah has forbidden him. In other words, when we move from a state where we're disobeying Allah to a state where we're obeying Allah, that too is a hijrah. That too is a form of abandoning evil for good. Wa jahadu, the key word, jahadu. Now we think of jihad and we think of warriors brandishing swords and yelling Allahu Akbar. Jihad is much more than that. Jihad actually literally means struggle. When you struggle in Allah's path. Now that can be military jihad, which is of course the supreme form of jihad. When you're actually fighting in Allah's path to curb oppression, to save the oppressed Muslims. But there are other forms of jihad as well. When you're feeling tired and you force yourself to get up and pray, you're doing jihad against your nafs. When we come and learn this knowledge of Allah's, we're doing intellectual jihad. Whatever we learn of the knowledge of this Quran and the Sunnah is a great form of jihad. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kharaja fi talabil ilmi fahuwa fi sabilillahi hatta yarji'a." Whoever leaves his house seeking the knowledge of Allah, then he is in Allah's path until he returns. Again and again we find the emphasis on Islamic education, educating ourselves about Islam, about the depths of this Quran, about the depths of Sunnah. Allah says, jahadu bi amwalihim, by their wealth, spending our money in Allah's path, giving our money for causes that are supporting Islam, wa anfusihim. Not that we give vast amounts in checks and think, oh, we're so good and pious, anfusihim, do jihad with their nafs. Every time I force myself to obey Allah, I am doing jihad against my nafs. Every time I sacrifice my time for Allah's sake, we are doing jihad of the nafs. Anfusihim. And why are we doing all of this? For Allah's sake. And those who help them and who give refuge to them. The Muslims are supposed to be complementing one another. If we don't have the knowledge to teach the Quran, at least we can support those who are doing so. أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدُ. Such are friends one of another. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. What have we been taught? That the mu'mineen are brothers, not fighting amongst themselves. And Allah is all seer of what you do. And those who disbelieve are allies one of another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, Al-kufru millatan wahida. Kufr is one creed. In other words, they are all united, no matter what creed, what culture they believe in. They are all united in their hatred of Islam, in their inner fear of Islam. And if you do not do so, in other words, if we do not form allies amongst ourselves, there will be fitna and oppression on the earth. Wa fasadun kabir. And a great corruption. And we know what's happening today to the Muslims all over the world. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And those who have iman. Again Allah repeats. وَهَاجَرُوا. And do hijrah. Migrate. In whatever way they can. And they do jihad in the path of Allah. Iman in itself is not enough. That I sit back and say, well, I'm a good Muslim and I read my 5 prayers a day and that's enough for me. If Allah has granted me opportunities to learn this knowledge, to teach this knowledge, then I should take those opportunities. Fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah. Walladina awa wa nasaru, as well as those who gave refuge and help. Ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. Such are the true believers. Now this is the definition of the believers. Do we come under this category? Are we doing any of these actions? Lahum maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. What's the great incentive to be like these people? For such is forgiveness. We sit back after our 5 prayers and after our fast at the end of the day and think Allah is bound to forgive us. For such is forgiveness. People who prove their words, who make sacrifices. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain goodness until you spend from that which you love. Whether of your time, or your energies, or your knowledge, or your talents, any talent that Allah has given us. مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. From all that we have provided them, they spend. For such people is forgiveness and a generous provision. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ. And those who believed afterwards. وَهَاجَرُوا. And emigrated. وَجَاهَدُوا مَعَكُمْ. And strove hard along with you. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ. Such people are of you. We want the same Jannah as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are we doing the same deed? Are we even trying to emulate them? Their spirit of sacrifice, their spirit of giving everything they had for Allah's sake. Remember Suhaib al-Rumi, the companion, that when he was escaping from Makkah and the kuffar surrounded him and said, we'll kill you. He said, fine, if you want to kill me, but otherwise I'll tell you where my wealth is hidden and you can take all that wealth. And he said that because he knew he could be of more value to Islam while he was living. So they let him go and he literally gave up everything he possessed just so he could serve Islam. And when he reached Medina, the Prophet ﷺ had already been informed of this by Wahi. And he greeted him by saying, O Suhaib, your transaction has been successful. Could we ever contemplate doing such a thing for Islam? Those who believed afterwards and emigrated and did jihad with you, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ, such people are of you. But kindred by blood are nearer to one another regarding inheritance in the decree ordained by Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed Allah is all knower of everything. In other words, that inheritance rights first and foremost belong to the relatives.